May the Lord sweep away the tears of the last few months and bring forth the beautiful new thing He's doing to a waiting and expectant bride. May we cooperate during the season of growing into our new beginnings. Amen. The Lord has been leveling the high places in our lives. Some of us have had the most difficult month we can remember, the very worst. And each time I would go to the Lord using the Bible promises, we would often get humility and enemies. We have all been under an unprecedented cloud of attack, from things like appliances going wrong, several in a succession, in our house breaking down and burning out, to computers getting infected or having other glitches, to husbands cheating on wives, to life-threatening sicknesses. All of us have had more than a normal portion of grief for this month. And I sensed when I would get humility that it was not a rebuke from the Lord for being proud as much as it was an explanation for what and why He was allowing the enemy to take spoils from our lives. There are seasons, dear ones, seasons of climbing that mountain of holiness, where the Lord asks us to climb with His cross through the most frigid and slippery terrain that is so steep we can hardly breathe as we walk. We have talked about this before, climbing and then arriving at a high and level plateau where the vista is exquisite and exhilarating. From this holy ground, new gifts are given, new abilities and anointings. New opportunities are presented to us to expand God's influence from within our lives, going out to others. But during the climb, we become humiliatingly near to defeat. One more drop of suffering and we'd be finished. And it is from this place we are desperately crying out to God to help us persevere. We have come to our absolute limit and are fearfully exploring the consequences of telling the Lord, "I can't do this anymore." Yet we know somehow He will not allow us these trials unless He provides the grace to triumph and pass through it. Even as it is written, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide an escape so that you can stand up under it. That's Paul speaking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And consider David's heart. I opened to this psalm. Actually, I was given this psalm on a Rhema card. Consider David's heart when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. This is Psalm 3. "Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, 'God will not deliver him.'" Or so the enemy thinks. That's me. That's what the enemy thinks, right? But we know our God, and we know our God is faithful. Continuing on with the psalm. "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to you, Lord, and you answer me from your holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people." This is what David wrote when he was fleeing from his son. Our enemies foolishly think that if they mercilessly persecute us, we will give up. Yet God lives in us, and there is no way for us to give up without losing life Himself, who dwells within us. Our enemies do not realize that this is another training routine to prepare us for the next level of blessings. Blessings that will steal souls out of the jaws of Satan. You know, the Lord toughens us up. and gets us ready to handle more anointing. That's what this is about. The more the Satanists persecute us, the more pain, suffering, frustration, and loss that they heap on us, the greater will be the gifts and graces God bestows upon us to rise up and throw the nets of salvation into the ocean of this corrupt world and haul out the catch of our lives, even as Peter did in John 21. 153 large fish. In Kenneth Wiest's Word Studies in the Greek New Testament, he believed from the choice of words used by John to describe this incident that Peter had grown discouraged in preaching the gospel and went back to his fishing business. Sound familiar? Lord, this is just too hard. Isn't there some other way I could serve you? I felt that observation from Kenneth Wiest was very anointed, and that's why he didn't catch even one fish that night. But when Jesus came on the scene, the nets were filled to the breaking point. I can only imagine that Peter was going through the kind of sifting and testing all of us have been through these past months. He got to his breaking point. But the Lord demonstrated the power Peter would now have to fill the nets to overflowing after he was reinstated, which happened when the Lord asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" This past month, I've shared with you how tempting it was to wander into something to relieve stress, for instance, working with healing essential oils. And in the Sunday Missal readings I use every day for my communion services, I opened to this very incident in Peter's life and heard the Lord's voice in this rhema, "Do you love me more than these?" Wow. And immediately my perspective changed and I realized, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And it was so much easier to pass these oils on to a local Christian midwife who practices midwifery in Africa part of the year, a beautiful young couple of missionaries. So the Lord was asking Peter, "Do you love me more than your fishing business?" At the same time asking me if I loved him more than these seemingly innocent distractions. But the point I want to make here is that we have all been tested to our limits, and now I believe breakthrough is coming. He has leveled the mountains and filled the valleys during this time of supreme effort to persevere. And now we're ready for what he has for us. I can feel it in my music. There's definitely been a shift in the anointing for the better. So in all of this, my dear ones, please take it to heart that we are at a turning point and don't let discouragement bring you down any further. Rather, persevere and wait on the Lord for a breakthrough, because it is coming. He's seen your labors. He has seen the obstacles Satan has thrown up in your way. He has seen your sincere love for him, even to the point of suffering, day after day after day. And now he's going to reward us. And by the way, some of us have been suffering as though there were no end to it. Then that can really get dark. So I wanted to know that I was on the right track with the Lord, because this is what I was feeling, and I asked him, "Lord, please share with us, is this your perspective?" He began, "Indeed it is. My bride is entering a much-needed time of rest and recompense. I have watched your labors against overwhelming odds. I have heard every cry for help to keep going. I have captured your teardrops in a golden vial. I have missed nothing. Now I am going to anoint your heads with the oil of gladness. I'm going to pour your tears onto the fertile ground, and like nourishing waters from above, your garden will blossom around you. You are coming into a season of reaping for all of your labors, my bride. You have continued on in the dryness, in the pain, in the threatening winds. You have not backed down, but have proven to me you are ready for greater gifts and anointings and responsibilities. The fruit from this season will be golden and succulent. nourishing even the most depleted and dried up soul, even to putting flesh on the dried up bones. All around you are the ravages of worldly pursuit and worldly living, especially by the young who resemble the souls of old and fatigued men rather than being vibrant with life. Graduating from school should be a time of joy, but for many it's a time of darkness and indecision, plagued with unanswered questions. This is the carnage created by a worldly education without me in mind. Most leave school asking more questions about their future than they had the whole time they were in school learning. These souls are hungering for meaning in their lives, light in their darkness, peace in their turmoil. And you, my bride, have the wisdom to point the way through your gifts. Make them count. Make your time on this earth count for me and for those who are on the edge of the abyss, confused about the true meaning of life. And when he was saying that, I was thinking, not only are they confused about the true meaning of life, but they're confused about whether or not to be alive with all these death cultures that are rising up in different places, suicide cultures. It's terrible. When they should be thinking of a beautiful life ahead of them, they're thinking of ending their life before it really begins. Oh my goodness. So here he's saying, for those who are on the edge of the abyss and confused about the true meaning of life, is it making money? Is it love? Is it popularity? Is it creativity? Being hailed? You had all these questions when you were without my light. Some of you know what it's like to be without me, how very dark and hopeless it seems. Bring light into this world with the example of your lives and how you live them. Pick up your gifts and begin to work them as you never have before, and watch as you bloom into the fullness of life I intended for you from the beginning. I have rich beams of sunlight to penetrate the soil and activate the seeds in even greater energy than before. I have your tears to water them with. I have your diligence to protect the garden from encroaching weeds and distractions. And I have planted a hedge of angels round about you to protect the nursling plants as they grow into maturity and put off the most holy fragrance. See to it that you embrace hope and move forward in your gifts. You have weathered many very hard storms. And now, as I water the seeds I've planted in your lives with tears, they will grow tall, strong, and fragrant very quickly. This is a plateau season. Make the best of it, my brides. We shall be gardening together and rejoicing in the harvest as well. You have no idea of what I've planted in that soil, but when it comes to fruition, you will truly be awestruck. Go for it. Or as Claire often types, God for it. And something else that came to mind as I was closing this, Psalm 126:5, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, and weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. That's Psalm 30:56. God bless you, heart dwellers. This is an exciting time. The Lord is going to bring us out of the difficulties that we've had and give us new opportunities. Please brush off the dust and the mud and put oil on the bruises and the breaks and stand up again and get ready for this next season. It's a promising, promising time. The Lord bless you and thank you for being on our channel. Thank you for your kind support. You keep us going. God bless you.